What's happening, guys? Thanks for stopping back into the channel tonight, right here with me, Rust Belt Mechanic, and Captain Ron at the helm.
What's
here
going
at the headquarters. Plus, we also have a couple of special guests here tonight. We've got no one other than Truckmaster right here for you. We also have Mr. Mark Bedler and Ryan Bedler. What's up, guys? We got this figured out here. We're live here with Tech Talk Live, here with Russ Belt and the Captain. Tonight, answering you guys' question on diesel talk, whatever kind of questions that you have in here tonight, diesel shop talk, we can talk about some of the stuff that we've been doing this weekend. We've been doing some really cool stuff here at the shop. I mean,
we can't talk about it, though.
Can't talk about it? Nothing at all? Duramax Diesel's in here, too.
Whoa!
What's up, Rory?
Hey, what's going on?
What a nice AM radio show you guys have going on here. I mean, if we were only that cool. We're here in North Prairie, Wisconsin at Ryan's Diesel Service and Kodiak Truck. They have been kind enough to have us YouTubers here to video them doing quite a few different new things, installs. We're going to be doing some great videos this weekend that will be spread over the next couple of weeks. You guys will have to stay tuned in to check that one out. So why don't we start here with you?
Yes.
Let's get Ryan's input. Tell us a little bit about Ryan's Diesel Service.
So we are basically a Duramax specialty shop is our main focus. Doing anything from head gaskets, injectors, major motor overhauls, transmission repairs, drivetrain, up to custom manufacturing, turbochargers. We do make some specialty parts right now. We got a couple things in the works right now coming up that we're going to be releasing soon. More stuff, but like you say, our main focus is turbochargers, and then like you say, the truck side repair.
Awesome. Now let's talk with Mr. Mark here about his business here with Kodiak Truck. What do you guys do?
Yeah, we've been in business 35 years. We're specialty drivetrain, one-off custom stuff, all the way down to daily drivers, tons of differential rebuilding, transmissions, transfer cases.
Wasn't it the best transfer case in the world?
Best transfer case in the world.
This is my private salesman right here.
You might want to upgrade.
Oh, good one.
And then nothing other than Truckmaster here, who's got an amazing YouTube channel. If you guys don't subscribe to his, make sure you guys hop on over to his channel and subscribe to that. He does some really great stuff with Duramaxes. I mean, he shows a Ford here and there, but nobody really wants to see that stuff, right? has great diesel content, and he's going to be doing quite a few awesome things here. You guys can hear some Duramax running in the background. We've got some really cool stuff going on here tonight. Everyday Fleet Tech in the house. What's up, buddy? McBay here. So my buddy McBay, who's on here, he just sent me a message a couple of minutes ago on a possibility of trading his car. We'll hear what you guys have to say. He's got a 2008 Mitsubishi Lancer, and this thing, shitbox makes it look good. It's got a 5-speed with no 5-speeds. And he's got the opportunity to trade for an 01 Ford F-250 7.3.
I would do it and then sell it and get a Chevy.
Second that?
Second? We have a third? We have a third.
I agree.
There's a couple of forks in the background, too. You guys can't see that one.
There's arms flying everywhere here.
Yep, exactly. Evan's got a question. Notice his upper radiator hose is inflated after it's warmed up, leading me to believe I have a head gasket leak. Money is tight, so I can't afford the fix right away. Evan, let's see your what kind of a vehicle you have first.
Yes, you have head gasket leak.
Thanks, Earl.
It could be a cap, too. I mean, it could be something simple like that, you know, just a radiator cap. I mean, cheap insurance, you know.
That's true. 05 LLY.
Head gaskets.
Head gaskets. The world of head gaskets.
Not trying to be mean or anything, but
with bubbling coming in through the coolant tank within, you know, seconds of starting it, I'd say you probably have head gasket issues.
that, and Ryan will probably say, check your upper radiator hose in the morning time after it hasn't run all night.
Yep.
And if it's still hard, you've now officially joined the LLY Initiation and Hazing Club.
Rory comes in and says, hey, I've got some videos on how to do it that way. Rory's in the house, Duramax Diesel. He also has a YouTube channel. If you haven't checked out that one, make sure you do it. He does some really great hands-on videos also in the Duramax community. Really cool, cool stuff.
Rory's a man. He's the man.
So, what kind of cool stuff has, we'll say, what's Ron? Ron, what have you been up to this week, buddy?
This week has just been me trying to play catch up. Seems like all week I've been chasing my own tail. Just trying to get things done at the shop. Still trying to find time to get YouTube videos done. It seems like I don't ever have time for that, but I need to get back onto it. I need to get some stuff done with that. So I've got some time allotted this coming week for me to actually be devoted to a YouTube video, so I will have one coming up this next coming week. But other than that, just holding down the fort, man. That's all I got.
It was rough for me. I mean, I came back from Vegas. I had to put one whole work week in, and then I had to fly out again. But my body was twitching the whole way here, because it's like you're going the wrong direction. I had to go north, and I'm not used to going north. It's like cold. It's cold up here.
Oh no, the stream's breaking up. We're losing you. We don't want to hear about
that one. Dave Wanger said, "Is the current Dodge Cummins transmission good or not?"
Not.
Do you even know what they are, Earl?
Yeah, man, I know what I'm talking about. All right. When you say current, you know, if you're talking like a 3500, 4500, or 5500, that runs the Asian Warner. They're a pretty tough trans. They'll take some lick, but the 3/4 ton still runs a smaller transmission.
Optional of an ICE.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a couple that we had, what, three of those 5500s, right? And I was surprised. In fact, I did some transfer cases from them, and the input on them is ridiculous how big it is. It actually makes the late model Allison even look small.
Wow.
LML style. So,
yeah, I mean, the 68 RFEs, they've inherently been a decent trans, but they do have some shortcomings to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got some weak points, especially once you get above the 500 horsepower range.
You've probably seen some of the Asian Warners.
I actually have never seen a broken ISIN.
I have
not seen a broken one in the dealership format yet, but I also don't see very many, you know, ones with bigger turbos, injectors, deletes. I just see all factory kind of stuff. The biggest thing I see on them is leaks from a trans pan.
Sure.
You know, they're a little bit more expensive to do because the fluid costs four times as much. But yeah, I mean, there is that. Let's see what we got going on here. I know guys have gone almost a year on the head gaskets, but I wouldn't do that within a month of cracked four pistons. That's what Duramax Diesel said. So, I mean, when you're doing head gaskets, let's talk about that one a little bit. You know, just for the guys who have diesels or any cars, I guess, in that aspect, what are you looking at on head gaskets, starting with the Duramax community? I don't know, LLYs, costs, how hard is it to do?
So, how hard is head gaskets to do?
Yeah.
I would say that they're not, I wouldn't say that the average, like, just guy that has a little tool set in his garage and really not much of an ability really to turn wrenches off the get would be, I don't think that they would be able to tackle something like that. I think the skill level on that one would probably be somewhere around the, probably say about the 6 or 7, mm-hmm. maybe. On top of that, adjusting valve lash torque sequence. As a matter of fact, Ryan and I and Logan spent a lot of time under the hood of an LLY these last couple days, and there's just an immense amount of stuff you got to really pay attention to. I mean, if you don't do it the correct way and you slap everything back together, you may end up having to go back in there. So it's very crucial. As a matter of fact, I know Duramax Diesel, Rory, he's done a YouTube video on that. This Rust Belt Mechanic is your channel. I'm sorry. Rust Belt Mechanic,
this channel,
this guy right here, Kyle, he's done an incredible job at the head gasket job on that. So check out his video. a hit stud, and then as well
I
as
cheated,
the one that
his
cab was
off.
Yeah. And then Ryan here at Ryan's Diesel Service, make sure you check out the video that I'll be posting here. Probably it's going to be about 2 weeks, guys, but it's going to be very good. So I'm not going to say it's the best, but I think it's going to be very detailed. I think he may have it pretty good with the angles. It's tough to get angles, man. It really is. It's really hard.
You got a little bit of footage to sift through from this week. How many videos do you think you got through this week?
Probably about 20.
20-ish videos. Mitchell.
So we got a question coming in from Nathan Comel. He said, "I did a rearmost U-joint on a Ram 3500-67, and now the customer complains of a right rear wheel, quote unquote, wobble. Any suggestions?"
I've got ideas, but I've been talking a lot.
I couldn't hear the whole.
Customer, they did a U-joint, most rear one on a Ram 3500. Now they're complaining about a wobble in the rear.
So I've seen this, and this is going to be really bizarre, but if they used a Spicer joint, and it was 1480 or 1410, and it was one of their, what they call their lifetime U-joints, where it's a sealed Teflon joint, I tell this to customers all the time when we do this, when they pick up a transfer case and yoke kit from me, this is such an easy mistake to be made. There are plastic thrust washers inside the caps. So you go to pull all your caps off your joint to put it together, you slide it up in there. If one of them thrusts, and I've seen this happen, stick to the center section, and you double up on one side and you miss on the other, you got your joint offset and you're going to pick up a slight vibration. That could be a possibility. Somebody might have to take that joint back apart and look and make sure they didn't drop a thrust into the wrong place where there's two thrusts up and one missing.
That makes a lot
of
sense.
Things, you could go for balanced tires, that what Rory said. The only other thing that I would say that I've seen is sometimes when you take those apart, you have to be really careful on not flexing that center joint too much. The carrier bearing on those, they're used to holding a lot of torque and a lot of power to them. But getting the perfect angle on them also, I've seen where they have some issues from the factory. And once you take that drive shaft down and put it back in one more time, it becomes more inherent that it's got a vibration. And we actually end up shimming that center carrier bearing down like one or two small washers. Takes a wobble right away. I've had that happen once or twice before.
And being a two-piece shaft, they got to make sure they got it back in phase also.
Yep, that too.
Brian Merriman asks, what is a good upgrade for a stock 2016 LML turbo? Ryan?
There might be some stuff coming out here or there.
For an LML, we definitely do have a couple different turbo options. The biggest thing would depend on your truck, what you're doing with it. Is it, you're going for a racing application? Do you have a horsepower number in mind? Is this an everyday tow rig? Yeah, there definitely are options out there for an upgrade, that's for sure.
Sweet. Yeah, we usually, on the channel here, you guys have seen a whole lot more in the way of LBZ content because that's what both Truckmaster and I both have. So lots of cool stuff there. Let's get into some talk about the actual shop experience. So starting off here, I know, Mark, you said you started the business how many years ago, 20-some years?
35 years ago, but through that also, I was monster truck racing also, so I wasn't, full on with this. There'd be weeks where we'd be out on the road, hung out, racing, whatever, and then we'd come back and we'd pick right back up where we left off. But once I retired from that, sold off the whole operation, and we kind of concentrate on the business. And, kept taking every product we came across, every transfer case, every differential that had a problem, we tried to keep elevating it to the next level on our rebuilds to make it much better than what anybody else expected it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when you started this business off, you had to get started into the diesel world and everything somehow. What got you wanting to start into this whole diesel market, fixing trucks, making them better, maybe even the whole monster truck gig, which if you didn't know, Kodiak truck right here. It was a monster truck rig back in the late 80s, early 90s, rocking up the circuit.
Yeah, I don't know. I just started out as a young kid and loved trucks, and we loved going four-wheeling and everything. And one thing just progressed as far as that's concerned. As far as the business and all that other stuff, and even like the Allison transmissions that I do now, my son sucked me into those. Thanks a lot, Sonny. I never dabbled in transmissions, and when he decided to get into the Duramaxes, and you know, as a kid growing up, he was around the shop and he loved trucks. I know he did, and I polluted him with that, and we just kept taking things up to the next level and developing stuff and doing cool stuff and building cool stuff.
So obviously, he got drug into the business. You know, he says that, oh, Ryan drug me in now. Now, obviously, you got started off early, and that has been shown on a YouTube video from 1991. I will have to link that one.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Swinging a hammer young. Well, so did Dad get you pushed into it? What got you drawn into the business?
Well, the big thing was, for me, I like Duramaxes. Obviously, that was started out in 2010. I bought a 2003 LB7. Still actually have the truck to this day. One of those things, just wanted to go faster and faster and do more cool stuff to it. I had a hard time paying somebody, you know, a lot of money for something that I could do, and just kind of started out getting a couple accounts, vendors, started doing stuff, and started doing stuff for buddies, and next thing you know, it kind of turned off into a full-time business. So
here we go. Ron, what's the one question that I did see in there?
So Shane1980 just said, are there any tips for doing a CP3 conversion with 10 millimeter pump on a 2013 LML?
Diesel gods?
Yep. Tips. Take your time. Take lots of pictures. I know, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of good instructions out there or videos. I know there are a couple kits out there right now that have very basic instructions, I'll say. So the biggest thing is take lots of pictures. You know, kind of pay attention to what you're doing that way. I want to say, like you say, I think there was a couple videos floating out there, but again, like you say, and instructions, but they're pretty vague. But the big thing I always tell guys when they're going to tackle it, or if they call in and buy the kits from us and pumps and stuff, just take lots of pictures. I cannot stress that enough. You know, put it apart, put it back together.
I know here in the near future, I'm probably thinking a couple months, I should be able to get that video out to you guys, the CP3 conversion on an LML. I know a buddy of mine in Michigan, he has an LML, and we both talked about doing that conversion and doing a YouTube video on it. So hopefully it should be pretty insightful.
I wonder if there's somebody maybe working on designing a kit for that or something, maybe. Maybe, possibly.
Might be.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say nothing.
That's not dropping any hints or anything, is it?
That was very subtle, wasn't it?
Not it's like, maybe that guy.
Yep.
Another question came through. Would you like me to go ahead?
Yeah.
Okay. Stephen Word says, you guys are a performance shop, right? How is this EPA crackdown affecting you guys? What about trucks that are already changed and turned up? Is it that serious?
You want to field that one?
You have no idea. Yes, it is serious. I will definitely tell you that, in my own opinion, I would say it is definitely, you know, the crackdown. How is your wording? It's not affecting us personally. I guess our big thing is we never really did a lot of the tuning stuff. A little bit that we did do years ago, we stopped doing.
getting a little hot. Yeah. We're good.
So it's one of those things I would say a lot of our stuff that we do is, you know, the general pair, you know, like Mark said, and these guys said, build transmissions. But when it came to the tuning and the exhaust stuff, honestly, there were so many people out there that did it. Didn't really waste a lot of effort with doing that. So
pretty much the EPA has stuck their nose into a lot of what has taken over to be the entire diesel market. And you know what we can tell the EPA to go and do. But,
guys, you know, I'm going to have to step in right now and say this is a family program. We don't need to be... We don't need to be taking our shirts off, but
Truckmaster
/ Earl.
Yeah.
How's that dent pull? How's that dent pulling company going, everybody?
Don't worry about it. You watch the video.
By the way, Chaka came in with a $2 super chat donation saying, "Good evening, Rust Belt. Ryobi is trash."
He's got a thing against Ryobi tools. I mean, whatever.
I think it's pretty good. I mean, it's, you know, affordable and yeah.
But he pays $2 every time to remind me how trash my Ryobi tools are.
Oh,
thanks, Chaka. that's awesome. Yeah. So speaking of tools, here in the shop, I've seen you guys use all kinds of cordless tools. Let's talk cordless tools here a little bit. I see you guys started off with Rigid, right?
Mm-hmm.
What got you started off liking Rigid?
The sales guy at Home Depot ensured me that this stuff was good quality and it was going to work for what we needed to do. So I am just so thankful I signed up for that lifetime warranty. I do have to send my repairman at Home Depot a Christmas card now because we have a close personal relationship. But he does fix it, and it keeps on running. But I am currently switching over to another brand right now.
Yeah? And that brand, are we allowed to say?
Is the city that I grew up in right now. I'm switching some stuff right now to Milwaukee, and there may be some other connections here. What was the name of that company? You knew it.
SP?
There we go.
Some SP tools?
Yeah.
We might be looking into some SP tools here, too.
Yeah.
Some Milwaukee and SP tools, which, you know, both companies make fantastic electric tools. You know, there's going to be a lot more videos on all of those coming up here in the near future on top of that one. So you run your tools, obviously, into the ground. Now, what kind of tool trucks do you guys see here?
Snap-on, Matco, and Mac are going to be our top that we see weekly. I don't know. I buy from all of them just because all of them I feel have something that we need in the diesel world. That one may make this, the other may not, but those are top three that we see every week.
Okay, favorites for toolboxes.
Snap-on.
Snap-on toolboxes, yeah. Okay, favorites for ratchets.
Snap-on.
Snap-on ratchets? No Matco?
I don't know. Some of the Matco ratchets are pretty nice.
I'll say, well, I can't say I haven't tried the new ones. My old ones, unfortunately, I traded in for Snap-on ratchets.
Okay, how about impact sockets?
Snap-on.
Well,
Snap-on and my Matco. I do say my Matcos are pretty good.
I've got multiple sets, Matco and Snap-on.
Now, you run more pliers and snapper and pliers than I've ever seen.
Snapper and pliers, yeah. I warranty a lot of those. I tend to wear them out pretty quick. Snap-on, Matco, that's pretty much the majority of it. I've got a fair amount of Mac stuff, too. They've got a slick little deal. We did a video on it. I'm rebuilding a 9 1/4 front diff, and I was struggling for years trying to come up with the right thing to pull the race out of the housing. And here, my Mac guy turned me on to these two little wonderful tools that were about $56, and they call them injector pullers. You'll see it in a video coming up here, and it's cool. They work good.
Mm-hmm. How about pliers? Just regular pliers.
Vampire.
Snap-on? All right.
I've actually got some channel lock stuff that I like. I've got Snap-on also, and some Matco.
I actually just got some Milwaukee, like, channel locks or the vice grip style.
Yeah.
Dude, those are pretty killer. Yeah. Yeah. Those are pretty nice. I saw you guys running around for some vice grips earlier on today. We need to look out for some of those. Oh, hammers.
You know, I got a fair variety between Matco and Snap-on. Both, honestly, it almost seems coming down to what the job is that I'm doing. Usually the hammer that I pick, to be quite honest with you, getting in, that sort of thing.
Sweet. We do have a diesel question that did come through also. Shane also asked, he has an HSP compound kit being built as we speak. How important is it that I do head studs on my 13 LML? Because he likes to go fast, and you know that thing's going to be on 5.
Well, I guess depending if you got fueling and that sort of thing. The theory that I've heard is you don't do studs, you're more than likely to lift the head and blow the gasket. If the motor's studded, that stud isn't going to allow the head to lift, and you're going to be more than likely to crack a piston. Yeah. Whether there's any truth in there, I have no idea. I've never tested the theory because I've just built it right the first time. But that's the theory that I've heard.
Well, it depends on how far you want to go with it, too.
That's
the
biggest thing.
Because you're dialing it up. You know, I mean, if you could... You could possibly get to about 600 horsepower and kind of just kind of level there, and I think everything's the head still be fine.
Yep.
Without actually doing the studs, it just depends on how crazy. But if you're talking compounds, I probably would. Yeah, I probably would. I'd probably do it if I was already down
there. You know, definitely, because this guy's running them, you know, all the balls to the wall without head studs, no injectors. We just shove a big old turf ski on there and hit the gas, right?
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah,
it hasn't blown up yet.
No, I mean I think the thing, only thing I have going for me, which is totally unrelated, is my driveline. I mean the rear end that Mark built plus the transfer case. I think it's a pretty good combination, you know, with the big gigantic turbo. But yeah, that thing needs to get dialed in, guys. Stay tuned if you watch my channel, seriously. Keeping it fresh.
Mitchell asked, what chainsaws do you like working on power strokes with?
Husqvarna, it's probably my, what are you really asking? On what?
When you work on Fords, what chainsaws do you like to use?
I thought you used sledgehammers. No, I don't, actually.
Nope.
No, I don't do that. No, usually wrecking balls.
Came in like a wrecking ball? Is that how it was?
Pretty much. Picture.
Benjamin asked, when's the next truck show going to be in Wisconsin?
We don't want to release a date. We definitely have one in mind, guys. To be honest with you, we're hoping somewhere in June, but we're probably going to be, well, no, for sure. I'm more than likely thinking about January. Yeah.
In Wisconsin.
Yeah.
January.
No, we'll know for sure when we have the date by January.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like,
that's
wow.
What I'm here. I'm like, dude,
well, hey, guys, if you want to do a truck show in Wisconsin
in January, everybody bring your shovel. We're shoveling off the grass.
Matter of fact, we'll just go to the UP, Upper Peninsula, Michigan. We'll go that route.
Now bring your front end loader.
Yes.
Where you I mean, if bed. Josh was saying January, I almost took him for serious just because.
It'd be fun, though.
Yeah, it would be. I mean,
cold
it
starts.
Would be a, yeah, cold start hobo party with fire and trash cans. Everybody making, you know,
we could
chicken
do
noodle soup.
Snow burnouts. I mean,
snow burnouts.
Ice fishing. Ice fishing. Yes.
Burnouts on lakes. I mean,
possibilities are endless.
Yes. Chili cookout. You might have double the porta johns.
Ice drakes.
So the dyno will probably need recalibration again.
Yeah.
Don't count on seeing that one again.
So working here in the diesel shop, you know, seeing these guys going to work has been a really cool thing this weekend. And they have a really great crew that they have working for them. It's not just these two guys working here. There's a whole lot that goes on behind the scenes. You know, what kind of crew do you guys have that you work with? You know, what do you guys do here with them?
So I guess the biggest thing that they kind of do, I mean, they kind of take as far as when the orders come in, I kind of assign what they need, you know, need to get done and that sort of thing. Generally, they can get it done, kind of make it happen and get the truck back out the door. They're a good group of guys, and I generally don't have to worry. Usually the job's done on time, customer's happy, and we don't have to come back. So that's always a plus.
How many people you got working here with you?
We'd have four full-time people here.
Four full-timers?
Yeah.
And you're just by yourself, right?
I'm kind of by myself. I got one part-time buddy that helps me out. He's retired, basically washing parts. I'm lucky enough that I have a lot of inventory on the shelf, so I constantly have a circulation. If you can see the other side of this bench right now, there is a line of transfer cases and differentials that's got to get built and back in inventory, and that's a never-ending process. But I rob a guy or two from Ryan at time to time, and we make it happen, you know? It's We got a good group here, and it clicks, and anything can get stressful, but we always get the job done. It's right, like Ryan said, and we, in the end, we really enjoy what we do, and it's really cool when you accomplish something new that nobody else has done or come up with, so
Now, in the way of new great things, I know that the biggest hurdle right now in the whole diesel market is obviously the EPA. You know, crap. It's kind of hard running a business and having them butt in on everything to boot. But when we're talking about new products and everything, how is it that you guys go to develop those new products? Do you have something to where, you know, you're just seeing new things that come out on the market and you just want to be the first one out there, or do you look for problems to come out before you kind of go into them?
Usually the two big things, A, kind of feedback from customers of what they're saying, hey, this is what I want, this is what I'm looking for. You know, if there's something not out there, take that into consideration. B, being the failure point of, hey, yeah, this part we see fail 6 times a month. Well, then we got to try to figure out what we're going to do to address that. Then, like you say, I'd say lastly would be, you know, just kind of where can we get this truck to, you know, achieve better, you know, perform better and that sort of thing would be the biggest thing.
We'll put parts out there. Thankfully, we got a guy named Beard that just pounds the snot out of everything he has. So he's our R&D guy. If we want something that somebody can potentially break, we'll give it to Beard and let him go pound on it. And, you know, actually, when I came out with my mechanical locker for the front diff, Tyler was the first one to get one in a truck, and we're like, put it in your pull truck, take it out. We actually took his e-locker out and put this mechanical in to see how it would act and what it would do. And we did that, what, Ryan, four or five years ago already? Wow. And we had him run on it a couple of years, and from there, locally, it just took off, and we've got quite a few pull sled trucks that run it. And actually, Tyler's now got kind of a drag truck he's put together that he's running it in. And so we constantly look for the type of situation where somebody says, well, that can't be done. Well, let's try to do it.
Absolutely.
Sweet. We did get a question from Ben. He said I'm looking at possibly ordering an Allison built trans from you guys. I have your transfer case already and a 64 millimeter Terbski. What do you guys recommend on the build price points for maybe an RDS 550?
Betcha. That trans there is running about 5,200 installed. That's going to be parts, fluid, labor, coolers flush, the whole nine yards. 550, like you say, is usually generally good for most guys. And with that kind of setup, if you don't plan on throwing any more fueling or anything like that, just kind of keeping the modified turbo, that'd be perfect for you.
Chuck, I had a question for you, for Earl. He's like, I'm looking for doing a full delete tune, belches thick black smoke, and you know, ever so light on the throttle. Is he game?
Is he asking me like what?
No, Earl. Earl. Is Earl game?
Oh, he don't tune. He doesn't do it with his own truck, so all right.
Josh, I have to say that you probably ought to, the shirt you're wearing right now, you should probably make that merchandise for your channel.
We may or may not have been seriously talking about that this weekend.
He just bought 50 shirts from Walmart and bought all their Sharpies.
So if you would like a shirt like this,
that means every one of them. That means every one of them is unique.
Truckmasterdiesel.com.
So I have a question for you guys. So what is the, I guess, what is the biggest build that you guys have done to date? And I know that's kind of a broad question, but.
We'll say prior to this last week.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say we did have one of the guys, he actually, good friend, he wanted to build a pole truck. Yeah, he wanted to go and build basically stock motor truck, but he did have some stuff, bigger turbo injectors and that sort of thing. Truck was making about 700 horse, and he said it was the time, no more stock motor, I'm going all the way, I'm going to just, basically no limit, budget-wise, and it just is what it is. And the truck was now north of 1,000 horsepower. Basically, myself, my dad, and him basically built it in the shop, and it was just the three of us, and kind of went along with it. And it's a strong running truck. He does very, very well at places that he goes to. So potentially, maybe even going bigger yet. We'll see. See what the future brings.
Nice. Had ben another question asked, come in.
Oh no! What the turnaround is on that trans work? He said he lives in Michigan, but family in Wisconsin. Curious how long a trip he needs.
I betcha. Generally 2 to 3 days is what we tell guys. try to shoot for a little bit quicker. Sometimes we can, you know, if we run into other issues or coolers are plugged or whatever, always adds on a little bit of time. Generally 2 to 3 days, what we say.
Sweet. Mitchell also earlier asked, you think you guys will ever get into stock chargers on Cummins trucks, 03 to current?
Currently have something up my sleeve for them. Currently we're looking into doing stuff with them. We got a couple of the 13 pluses that we're kind of working on. Going to kind of go backwards as we go just because the newer trucks are the hottest thing right now. We'll kind of work our way down, but yeah, we will definitely have something in the future.
Sweet. Newer is kind of crazy. Kind of a crazy market right now.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, it's tiptoeing back and forth because so many people have these trucks out right now, and they know that they have so much potential into them, but they're trying to tiptoe around how much horsepower can we get? Can we make sure that it's, you know, legal for the, you know, Edward Pacific a-holes to be able to not come knocking at doors and such, but yeah, that is the big market right now, is trying to make things, you know, as best as they possibly can, but still stay within certain bounds and limits that they are bound by right now. What else you got there, Ronifer?
The only thing I've got is Captain Ron's lucky break of the week.
What?
Yeah, my lucky break of the week. So Friday, at the very end of the day, you know I was working on that 3500 trying to get it out the door.
Uh-huh.
So I get it done. Get the alternator replaced, get that max fuse replaced, 529, shut the hood, take it out, send the guy on his way. I get home about a half hour later and realize my watch is gone. I left my smartwatch and apparently a snap-on ratchet with socket underneath the cowl. Shut the hood, sent the car out the door. See you later. I get home. I'm like, oh crap, I don't have my watch. I left it underneath that hood of that truck. So everybody's gone. I had to wait till the next day. So I call up and I get the information for the customer and I call him today. And he's like, wow. He's like, I've driven like 200 miles since I've been to your shop. And that's just yesterday. 200 miles. I'll go out there and look. And so half the day goes by and he calls me back and he's like, you're not going to believe it. It's all still there.
You're lucky because originally you had thought that you only lost your watch.
Yeah, no, left my quarter inch snap on ratchet and probably my 10 millimeter deep socket on there. So he's going to be bringing that back to me on
his way back home.
It's going to be bringing it back to me on Tuesday.
Isn't that a nice guy?
I know.
He could have been just, you know, that.
Oh, it's gone.
Well, never found anything, never knew, but he was a good customer and he brought your stuff back.
Yeah.
You know, we all could retire if we could design a GPS chip for a 10 mil socket. We could sell that patent time and time again.
Yep. That if that was a thing, you'd have to get those little tile, like, you know, those tiles you can put on things,
like an RFID chip kind of.
Yeah, but it'd have to be like that big, and somehow you can implant it into it.
Technology that we have these days, there could be something like that.
Oh yeah,
you know what else would be cool is if each one of these sockets had little LED lights built into them, like the inside.
And you just portion. Like right when you put the socket tray in your toolbox, it just charged them.
Yeah. Exactly. Wireless charging for sockets. Yep. GPS monitoring.
Can you imagine how much those would be on the Snap-on truck?
Oh, man.
$1,000 for a set of sockets.
No, only 37 payments of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian Merriman came back and said, it may be a dumb question, but you definitely need to tune after a bigger turbo upgrade, correct?
Well, it's really your call. Hang on. What is he specifically asking? A bigger turbo? Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I would recommend it, but then again, it's really your call. You know, I mean, there's been guys that's been able to put turbos like that in their truck and just roll with it, but it's not preferred. Definitely gonna blow up some black smoke and can be a little laggy. So,
yep, it happens. Ben also said if they were smart, they'd charge up the 10 mils and make bank. Oh yeah, just do that only on 10 mils.
Yeah, because you don't need GPS sockets for like a, you know, 8 millimeter or
no.
5.5 millimeter.
Nope, not at all. Well, you guys got anything else? I know we've been doing all kinds of stuff tonight, and we've got like tons more that we're going to be doing over here over the next day or so. It's been insane.
We've actually, like, just last night, we didn't leave the shop till about 1 in the morning. So, yeah.
That's a pretty late night for probably all of you.
About right. I don't even remember. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was. And then I ended up getting up at like 5:30 in the morning anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I was up when we shared a room together.
Yeah. It happened.
Ooh. So before we go, why doesn't everybody rattle off their social media / places they can find you? Shout out time. Find where they can find you on the internet. So start with Ryan and Mark.
Ryan,
betcha. Facebook, Ryan's Diesel Service, and Instagram, same thing, Ryan's Diesel Service. We're on both.
Yep, Kodiak Truck on Facebook, Kodiak Truck on Instagram, and our website, KodiakTruck.com.
Now, do you guys have YouTube channels as well, or just your stuff?
I don't have any YouTube channels. I don't. Kind of got all we can do to keep up with what we got going on here.
Got enough on your plate, right?
You got it.
Earl, what about you, man?
I don't have anything. I just, I go on Facebook sometimes, but...
Okay. No, Josh, how about you?
Instagrams are going to be at @truck_master07, and then YouTube channel Truckmaster.
You know, he's going to have like a bipolar complex after this whole thing. Somebody in the background, you know, just like, "Hey, Earl," and he's like, "What?"
Yeah.
What?
I think he's doing the Garth Brooks things.
Yeah. No, but hey, seriously, Kyle and I, we actually did an Earl skit today, and I don't know when I'm going to post this thing. I have no clue. But what I can tell you, it was so entertaining. I could not keep a straight face in this entire skit. It was so hard. It's going to be a really difficult video to edit, but it's going to be hilarious. And it was all Mark's idea, too. No.
If that says anything about how good it is, it is pretty legitimate. I mean, we had first thought, like, all right, let's crack out, like, a 5-minute, you know, funny little thing.
No, this turned into
an hour and 15 minutes later.
Oh, Jesus.
We had to put all the props away.
Yeah. That happened.
Yeah, it was kind of insane. What about you, Captain Ron? What do you got going on this week?
Like I said before, I've got at least a review video coming out later this week, so make sure hitting buttons on my keyboard. Make sure you guys tune over to my channel, The Master Apprentice. You can find me over on YouTube. You can also find me on Instagram at @thecptnron. So, like I said, make sure you guys stay tuned. Next week's Tech Talk Live will be more than likely going back to Sunday night. It will be over on my channel, and we don't have a guest lined up as of yet, but we'll figure that out.
Who knows? We got the ability to talk for a stupid amount of time. We might actually come up with some content to just talk about.
Yeah, might just be me and the Rust Belt for once.
And if you guys have the chance and you want to see any of these later on, they will be up on our channels respectively after the weeks that they air. Also, we do put these into podcast format. So places over like Google Podcast, Apple Play, they've got, or the Play Store or whatever for over at Google, they have it available over there. So in podcast form, make sure you look up Tech Talk Live with Rust Belt and the Captain if you guys wanted to check that one out. We will have that usually up by Monday or so. Like I said, normally we're up on Sunday nights, but just because flight times and everything, I will be in the air tomorrow evening. So I appreciate everybody kind of changing their schedule tonight to be able to come on in and see us on this Saturday evening. I appreciate it. All right. Well, that's about all we've got for this evening. I appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. I appreciate Captain being able to run everything from home base back in Ohio. And big thank you to Ryan and Mark for lending us your shop and seeing some really cool stuff this weekend, getting some opinions on your guys' endeavors here in the bitter cold wasteland of Wisconsin.
It was a balmy 40 degrees today.
Balmy 40 degrees, exactly. Well, that's about all we've got for tonight. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Thanks, and as always, I guess you guys stay awesome.
And we'll see you next time. Shut up, Earl.